Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 275, recorded November 30th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello. We have successfully navigated turkey and pie.
Yeah.
From Thanksgiving last week.
Oh, I need to tell him a neat thing.
Oh, what?
Okay, I forgot to write it down, but my brother at Thanksgiving
finally gave me some
of the footage, a little bit of the footage of their Lake Malawi trip. He showed me three chunks of footage that he was able to get from his coworker finally. And he had them on a USB there at our parents' house. And so I immediately attempted to upload them to cloud storage, but only one of them got there for some reason.
They were just too grounded.
So, I don't know what happened, but anyway, I've got one of them, so I'll take some clips out of that and put them up so you can see part of the trip. But there were some really fun things to see in all of those videos, and he says there's a lot more footage that's even better, but he just grabbed what he could when he had a chance from his coworker. So, anyway, it was neat. We saw various mbunas and some other types of cichlids, some open water sorts of cichlids that you never see in the shops because they're kind of drab, but also the very brightly colored mbunas we're familiar with, and probably some species that you are familiar with. So it was fun.
So when we get that up, we'll get it up.
I will post that. Yeah.
Okay. We have two people today, yes?
Yes.
We have Matt in Perth, Western Australia.
And
Mick in the one and only
Carnforth,
UK. Yes. So it's nice to hear from both of them again. We'll do Matt first. It says, "G'day, Kelly and Russ. It has been a while since I last updated you on my aquatic adventures. Let's start out with the planted aquarium. I'm having a champagne problem with it." Does that mean it's bubbling a lot or the fish are drunk?
I think it means it's bubbling a lot.
Okay.
So it's purring.
That's good. "The Vallis is growing so fast that I need regular trimming. Last trimming that I did, I filled up a quarter of a 10-liter or 2.6-gallon bucket with Vallis leaves. The other plants need a little trimming too, but by far the Vallis is growing the most. It looks like an aquatic rainforest. I'm considering getting some live bears, as I suspect Fry would find heaps of room to hide."
That's a good idea.
"I have lost yet another discus to unknown causes in my rainforest aquarium. I am sick of that species." Hey, that's hard. They're expensive and they're not very hardy, apparently. I've been having trouble.
Yeah, they're not the hardiest of fish, it's true. Mm-hmm.
"I do regular water changes. There are plenty of filtration and enough food. They have no reason to die so much. I still have my giant orange discus and a blue discus left, so I will keep them, but I do not intend to purchase any more discus. The 680-liter or 178-gallon 6-foot aquarium has some new inhabitants. I bought 8 Thoriichthys elioti today."
Okay.
He sent us pictures too. That is a pretty looking fish.
It is, yeah.
It's very sparkly. "They're about an inch long or 25 millimeters. They look tiny compared to my giant clown loaches and silver sharks swimming around. However, I know both loaches and silver sharks are not predatory fish, so they are showing no interest in the Thoriichthys elioti. My new inhabitants are already eating and looking comfortable in their vast new home. I've attached a photo of Thoriichthys elioti so you'll get an idea of what they look like. Such pretty little fish." They are pretty.
They're closely related to the firemouth cichlid.
Oh, okay.
In fact, same genus. It's a fairly large genus of fish. There are quite a few of them out there. And the elioti get their maximum size is smaller. Mm. And as you say, they're very beautiful fish.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
I really enjoy small cichlids. I've only kept a couple of really small cichlids, but I enjoyed them. So that would be one I'd be interested in trying sometime.
Yeah. Matt goes on. "So, my urchin, I suspect, killed my zinnia coral. The urchin has such sharp spines that it tore holes in the zinnia, and it never recovered. I don't think the urchin was trying to harm the coral. It was just after algae to eat. The dying zinnia then caused a massive explosion of nutrients in the marine aquarium. The sand is now vividly colorful with lots of different types of algae. If I did not know this was a bad sign, I'd like the sand's new colors. I have been doing daily 30% water changes to reduce the nutrients to a manageable level again. However, this is all useful information for future marine aquariums. I think I will just stick with soft corals and keep the bio load low enough not to need urchins or snails. I bought 2 mandarin fish. Yay! Okay, maybe we talked about this. I can't remember. But I cannot hear about or see mandarin fish without remembering the first time that I saw one. That we went on
a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah, and they had one of those tanks where it's in the wall. It's like, it's the room divider. So you could look in on one side of it while you were waiting to be seated, and then on the other side of the room in the restaurant, you could see the other side of the tank. And I just think it looks so psychedelic. It's like 60s carpet or something. I think they're really cool. Okay, anyways. So, he says, I bought 2 mandarin fish, one after the other, and both have since died. Oh, that's sad. I could not find the second one's corpse, so I am sure that decaying did not help with nutrient load either. That happened well before the zinnia problem. I now have a spotted mandarin living in my nanomarine. There's a picture of what he looks like attached to. He's pretty, we'll put him up too. He, unlike the last two, does eat brine shrimp, so he's doing much better. I have watched him eat many times, and he seemed settled. I have come to the conclusion that I do not like high-maintenance aquatic animals, whether they are coral or fish. I just want something that I can enjoy without needing to keep strict water conditions.
Very understandable. Mm-hmm.
Definitely less stress. As for recommendations for the 209-liter or 55-gallon aquarium that was mentioned in last week's podcast, who was it that was asking about that?
I think it was Joe in Hudsonville, Michigan.
Michigander Joe.
Yep.
Okay. Vallis and Amazon sword plants are the easiest to keep in my experience. A quality LED light helps immensely for plant growth. A regular fertilizer helps too. I have been listening to David Attenborough's autobiography, and he kept guppies and blue grammys in his youth. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I used to love that show. I would watch Life on Earth. I mean, I know he's done more than one show, but I became acquainted with David Attenborough through that show, Life on Earth, when I was a young child.
Cool. Says, I also recommend those fish. Dwarf cichlids are great, like rams or pistogrammas, for the bottom of the aquarium. As for schooling fish, I am biased towards my own zebra danios. I like danios because they swim constantly around the aquarium. Other schooling fish, like neons, tend to just sit near to each other but not actually move much.
That's very true about neons.
Mm-hmm. I like moving schooling fish. I highly recommend a loach too, clowns being my favorite, but coolies are enjoyable too, as are Pakistani loaches. Bristlenose or whiptails are good as algae eaters. I have found bristlenose to be the hardier of the two. That's all for now, Matt from Perth, Western Australia.
Thank you, Matt. I think it's a valuable bit of information you're putting forth there with saying these are the experiences I've had, and I've decided to not get rid of the discus, but just not continue to buy them. It's good to put forth what your experiences teach you in any direction, whether it's I'm going to steer away from this or I'm going to steer towards this. I think it's good. You know, with all of our creatures that we keep, I really pay a lot of attention to how much maintenance something is going to take before I get it.
It's true. It definitely, especially in the last half a dozen years or so, steered toward what is going to be easier.
Yeah. And that's why, the only fish tank in our living room is a goldfish tank.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. It's got Anubias growing in there. It's got goldfish. And, it's really easy to take care of. And the other tank in the critter room is more, a little higher maintenance, but it's still got easy fish in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've got the Opaula, easy shrimp. All of our reptiles are easy reptiles. We just, things that take low maintenance.
So we're busy,
We've been going.
Life is busy.
Yeah. Life is busier than it used to be. So we've just kind of steered that way. And we've found that works for us. And I'm sure when things change, maybe when we're retired and all that, we might do some like dwarf seahorses because those sound really fun.
Yeah, I would like that.
They're harder to take care of, and you know, different things like that. So I'm glad that you're explaining your perspective on that, because I think it's important for people to realize that it's not always about, you know, what's the biggest challenge. That can be cool in its place, but that's not always what it's about. It can just be about what can I enjoy, like you said. Yeah. So we appreciate that.
Because if all it does is frustrate you, then what's the point?
Right. And I love your suggestions,
too. It's not all it does, but...
No, but...
You know, if it keeps being frustrating because it's not working...
Yeah.
Then it's not fun anymore.
And at one point, you cease to enjoy it, so... Mm-hmm. Better to move in a direction where it's going to work. And I think a lot of it has to do with just particular... Like, you can get water that's in one particular place. And I'm not saying this is Matt's particular case, but sometimes people... and I know Matt has done all his research in this area, so I'm definitely not saying that this is Matt's experience, but I'm saying some people will say, I'm going to keep this fish without regard to their water conditions. And so they get a fish that's not suited to their water conditions. And then it doesn't work. And then if they had just decided, I'm going to get fish that fit my water conditions, instead of saying, I'm going to make my water conditions fit my fish, mm-hmm. it's easier. So that's another dimension to the whole thing that doesn't particularly apply in Matt's case, but just in general. And I appreciate the suggestions, too. I'm sure Joe does as well. I really love loaches, and clown loaches are probably my favorite, too. I had loaches in a 55-gallon tank years and years ago, and I eventually had to bring them back to the pet store. They outgrew the tank, but they were fun while I had them.
They were.
And I really enjoyed them. They did have a lot of personality. They were very active, very colorful. Just fun. I would give them little pieces of banana, and they would click. You could hear them audibly click when they were eating their bananas. They were fun. Anyway, good suggestions.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com. Or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. So we have a short email from Mick. He sent us a bunch of videos of some of his tanks.
Oh, there's
tanks
more
right
stuff
now.
Coming too.
Oh, really? So, yeah. Oh, never mind. It wasn't
so
on the
that
page.
Short. You just haven't seen it yet.
I just didn't scroll down. Okay. He says, "Hi, guys. Sending you a few links to some videos I made this afternoon of a few of my tanks. I have also attached some pictures of my fish room and tanks if you prefer to post any of them up."
So we've got four videos
and quite a few pictures, which you guys will have to go online and look at.
So Bristlenose upside down.
The videos are pretty cool. Tanks in his living room.
Yeah, we got to see the tanks in his living room.
Which I think looks really cool.
It's very fun. I really like that tank.
It was funny. I was looking at the video, and I guess because things look different in a video than in real life, but I said, "Oh, those are really cool rocks at the back." And Russ says, "I think that's like a vinyl background on the back of the tank." I'm like, "Oh, wow, it looks really good.
It looks really nice."
Yeah.
And all the schooling rummy noses and mm-hmm. the cardinals looked really cool. And he's got a picture of his tank rack with a lot mm-hmm. of his tanks on it. He's got, this is the Phalloceras, what is it? Catamaculatus, that's the name. Which is a little mottled live bear. It's kind of golden black. Would you say golden black there? Something like that.
Yeah, whitish gold.
And then another picture of his... There's an upside-down bristlenose placo with a big beard.
Yeah.
And then in the videos, he's got some of his Heterandria formosa after having just had a big meal of chopped prawns. And he's got his, several other things. Oh, some more of the Phalloceras catamaculatus and things like that. So... check him out. We'll put them all on the page.
Mm-hmm. And he's got more of the email here, too. "As work keeps me busy and I never seem to be able to keep up with my live food cultures properly, I have been experimenting with some different prepared foods recently with positive results. Ocean Nutrition's instant baby brine shrimp is great, all ready to feed and refrigerated rather than frozen, so no half-burst now play.
Yeah, and that's a bonus.
Also, frozen fine chopped prawn seems to be going well for the smaller stuff too. One of the videos shows some very portly looking Heteranda formosa after a good prawn feast. Like, it's what you mentioned, yeah.
I love those fish, by the way.
Says, I hate to ask this of such an internationally acclaimed author on live
food. I wish that were the case.
Mm-hmm. But do you have any favorite prepared foods, either in the fridge, freezer, or packed? Is there a preferred type or brand of flake or granular food you like to use on your tanks? I know that you spend nearly as much at the greengrocer's on split beans and such for the fish as the family table. Yes. We like to feed our fishies veggies.
We've probably talked about pet plate, haven't we?
Plate at the table and we just throw stuff on the table from everybody's dinner and critters. Feed it to the critters. Yes.
Because, you know, there are always things that the fish and the other creatures like to eat.
Millipedes and the isopods.
And the goldfish and whatnot. So, we do that fairly often.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
so, prepared foods.
I do have some. The ones that I like and use the most, let's see. I like to use omega-1. And I do it basically because they use a lot of whole foods that they collect. And, okay, disclaimer here, folks. I don't receive any money from Omega-1 to say this. That I know of, anyway.
Okay. I think that's just a none.
Okay, unless they're like ads on my YouTube channel that I don't know about. I don't know. Who knows? But as far as I know, I don't receive any money from any fish food people.
Well, if they're out there and they want to pay us,
that would be fine.
Feel free.
But I'm just saying, I don't receive money from any of the fish food companies that I'm aware of. So, Omega-1, I like it because they have a lot of whole foods. You know, it's not like fish meal that's scales and tails all ground up and, you know, mm-hmm. put in the food. It's, they collect whole fish and whole krill and that kind of stuff. So, I also like it because my fish like it, and I can tell when they eat it that they seem to be very interested in it, and there are a lot of natural carotenoids in the food to color them up.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that food. Seems to work
so
well.
So it tastes good and it works.
Currently I have...
Well, you know, it tastes good to them.
Right. I don't actually taste it, but I do smell it, but it doesn't smell that good to me. But anyway, I digress. I use the pellets... And I use, actually for our goldfish, I feed them the cichlid pellets. And they like it, and they do fine on that. We also share those same pellets with our axolotl, millipedes, and isopods for
egg. They all eat the cichlid
and
pellets?
And opaiula. They all eat those.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're useful.
Yeah. So they get around. They get a lot of use out of them. And then, I use the color flakes for... Our barbs and our bettas, they like it. They like the stuff. Not all bettas will touch flakes, but our bettas like that stuff. So that speaks well to it. Let's see, other brands. We use Hikari a fair bit for lots of things. I've used Hikari algae wafers and Hikari betta pellets. I love their micro pellets.
For when they're babies.
For small tetras or for guppies or for baby fish, yep. The Massivore Delight, I think it's called.
Massivore? Just like carnivore, fish that eat big things.
Yeah. Okay. I use that for triops, actually. Hmm. When I raise triops, it's great stuff. And not just for them, but I've noticed that they do well on those pellets. Let's see. Other brands. I do like Ocean Nutrition. You know, Mick mentioned Ocean Nutrition. I have not used that particular product that he mentioned, or the instant baby brine shrimp. But I have used some of their other formula. Let's see, is it Formula 1 or Formula 2? I think it's Formula 1 for cichlids, for African cichlids.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a pet store a number of years ago when I had a tank of mbunas, and they said, this is what we give our fish. It helps their color stay bright. We suggest you use it too. And it was the Ocean Nutrition brand. And that's what I used, and they really liked it. It worked well. So I like that brand. Brine Shrimp Direct makes... they're called golden pearls, and they're like the idea is they're an Artemia alternative to using baby brine shrimp.
Hmm.
and they're very they have kind of a neutral buoyancy. They come in various very specific sizes, so you can find one that matches your fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember using those with my when I first got a group of celestial pearl danios that wouldn't eat non-living food very readily. They would eat live food, so I would give them a lot of live food. They wouldn't eat non-living food because they were wild caught, I guess. Their offspring did. They were fine. They ate whatever, but...
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but the wild caught adults wouldn't eat a whole lot, except for they ate the golden pearls. They liked those well enough. They would eat those. So I use those for the guppies and for them, for just about all of my fish that would eat it. That's a good food. But as I recall, it's perishable. I had to keep it in the fridge, and it was shipped to me overnight in ice, so it might not be possible to get everywhere. And I live in the same state where it's made, because it's made. Brine Shrimp Direct is in Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is like about 15 minutes away from where we are now.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Not where we were when you had them ship
right,
it to you.
Right, but not that far away still.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we use fish food-wise? Are there other ones, too?
Yeah, that's probably about it.
I think those are the most common ones that we use. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely used others, too. Oh, when I'm doing bettas, I like the Addison's betta food.
Oh, that's right.
Partly because they're smaller pellets, and I like to be able to use the smaller pellets for training bettas and stuff, so I like that. And Addison's betta pro...
Have we talked about that on the podcast?
We may have, but it's been a long time.
Training the betas?
Yeah, I think we have.
Okay.
But Addison's betta pro, the company was kind enough to send me a big sample of it because I was having trouble finding it, I think. And they sent me a big old bag of it, and I loved it. The bettas grew super fast on it. As soon as I got them switched over from Walter Worms and Baby Brine Shrimp onto that stuff, they just shot up super fast. Great food. So those are some of my favorite foods, I'd say.
Okay, that's a good list. Matt goes on to say, I was really pleased to find a few fry from my remaining female Limia melanogaster this week.
That was one of the videos, too.
Yeah. I managed to net them into a floating trap, and they have been enjoying the baby brine as well as a very fine granule food and are growing on well. There are three other fry in with her, which are about 6 weeks old, so slowly building up the numbers. A friend gave me a few very young Corydoras aneos, or black, which I am growing on to add to the living room tank in a few months when they are a little larger. And there's some more pictures. Ooh, those are spiffy looking.
Yeah, they are. That, you know the white ones? The white Corys?
Uh-huh.
In a lot of cases, the Corys that you see in the pet store are this same species, but the white ones? I mean, the white ones you see are typically this species. This is a black cultivar of the same species.
The Corydoras
Aeneas
black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, those are pretty. I like those.
Yeah, me too. I've never seen them in the stores, but I'm glad they're in there because they look cool.
So he says, I've put a few details on the blurb for the videos of the tanks and fish. Fantastic news on the YouTube views. Best fishes, Mick.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Mick, and hopefully...
It's nice to hear from you both.
Yeah. We're glad to hear from Matt in Perth, Western Australia, and Mick in Carnforth, UK. We'll get that video posted of the Mbunas from my brother's trip to Lake Malawi. And let's see. Anything else we need to talk about this week? Not that I can think of.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I would say... Maybe fair warning now, we haven't actually talked about this, but I'm guessing we may not put out an issue each week of Christmas Vacation when you're on vacation.
Yeah, that's true.
But we might.
We might. We'll see how it goes.
But if there is a week missing later on in December, that's why.
You'll know why. It always gets quite busy.
Yeah. So. Although it helps. Christmas Day is a Friday this year, not a Monday when we...
Record. I might actually get it out. We'll see what we can do. It's just, it always gets busier than you ever possibly think it could.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we have a few weeks until then. So don't go anywhere.
And until next time.
May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629. or email us at info@aquaremax.com.